蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
欢迎来到良友电台的中英双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Haven Today》，这是每周末与你见面的节目，我是乐欣。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. We're continuing in a series called Peeking into Heaven. There's trouble on the border between Gaza and Israel. Hamas urging its people to storm the fence and make it to the other side. Israel wanting to protect its people at the very same time.It never seems like war will ever end. On the line with us from very close to the Gaza Strip is a friend of mine, a Jewish believer in Yeshua. David Zadok is a pastor of one of the largest churches in all of Israel. David, we've had you on with us in the past. Welcome back to the program. Would you please just give us your thoughts on what's going on this week and tell us about today and what that means?
Charles, thank you very much for having me. This week, we have a lot of events, both the Day of Independence, of Day of Jerusalem, the moving of the embassy, the Catastrophe Day, that for the Palestinian, that's how they call the day in which the State of Israel was reborn. And of course, on Friday, there is the first day of the Ramadan, the month of fasting of the Muslim that is starting. So there's a lot of events happening, both joyful and not so joyful for some.But I think in light of everything that is going on in this very loaded week, I think what really we as Christians are to pray is far more for the peace of Jerusalem, but not for the peace of Jerusalem as something that it's abstract, but for the peace that Christ alone can bring in the hearts of people, both we as the Jewish people, the Palestinian and the other nations around us.In these days, more than any other time, I think, in their history, we desperately need to hear the message of the gospel. And our prayers should be that God would enable his word to go out, to go forth, and to make an impact in the hearts of the people, and that God would continue to build and strengthen his church, both among the Jews as well as Palestinians and our Arab neighbors.Just this last Saturday, I was teaching about the glory of God and the honor that we need to give to God. And one of the things that I ended the message was actually from the book of Revelation, almost the last chapter, 21, the first seven verses, where it talks about John gives us a glimpse of heaven, of the new heaven and the new earth, talking about the new Jerusalem and talking about the place where God would be with his people.He would wipe out the tears from the eyes of us. There would be no fear, no tear, and no death. But there would be only the light of God that would fill everything, and there would be no sun and no moon. And that is our great hope, and that's the day where we need to prepare for it, and more so to evangelizing and bringing the gospel to our people in all the means that God in these days have made available for us.
David Zadok, a brother in the Lord, a Jewish brother in the Lord of mine. Thanks for joining us in the program.
Thank you for this opportunity to address your audiences. Thank you very much.
As bullets fly in Israel and tensions build again in the Middle East, we need some real hope. And that hope can only come through Jesus Christ and the future that he promises to all who follow him.
In Revelation 21 and 22, you have God living forever with mankind,On the new earth, God with us forever.
That's Randy Alcorn, the author of the book called Heaven. Randy coming back in just a moment to explain the parallels between the early part of Genesis and the final chapters of Revelation. And then we'll take a moment to look back to the Garden of Eden and take a sneak peek into the future. So stay with me. Let's be blessed together by God's word, even as we pray for peace.In Israel and the Gaza Strip.
今天节目呢 ,Charles 会对比创世纪伊甸园和启示录的新天新地。其实你自己在灵修的过程当中会不会把圣经的第一卷书和最后一卷书对比着来看呢？ 乐心，我就想到了，在我们跟人传福音的时候呀，总是鼓励他们读圣经，邀请他们先看四福音书。我们会说，你不要从圣经的创世纪开始看，而是从路加福音或者呢从约翰福音看起。我们希望对方能够先开始认识耶稣基督，但是实际情况就是，也许很多人呢都一开始对创世纪和启示录特别的感兴趣，就好像是看一部电影一样的，大家都想知道故事的开始和结局是怎样。人们对于这个地球还有人类的命运也同样有着类似的好奇，人和世界是从哪里来的呢？人和世界最后的结局会是怎样的呢？带着这两个问题，我们就开始看圣经的创世纪和启示录了。
We open the program now with the music group Salem and People of the Cross.
Home, we're heading home. We journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward, on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. Jesus, we will be faithful till you meet us. Give us your courage as we finish. We wanna hear well
The album is Unbreakable. This is Haven Today. Peeking into Heaven is what we're calling the program. Thank you so much for joining me, and a special thanks to Selah for singing about people of the cross. Ecclesiastes tells us that the end is better than the beginning. Heaven is better than the present. But we can learn a lot about the end from the beginning. And I'm talking about the Garden of Eden. And I want us to open the chapters of early Genesis to see what it has to tell us about where we will spend eternity if we believe in Jesus. But before we do that, I'd like you to hear how Randy Alcorn, the author of this book called Heaven, describes the parallels between the beginning of Genesis and the end of Revelation.
Here we have this beautiful thing. You've got Genesis 1 and 2. And you've got God's ideal creation as he first made it. You've got Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible, where you have God's new or renewed creation, new heavens, new earth. All was good before Genesis 3. All will be good for God's children after Revelation 20. And everything in between Genesis 3 to Revelation 20 is fallen mankind, fallen earth. In Genesis 1 and 2, God delegates reign to innocent mankind. And now in the present era, we have disputed reign with God and Satan and fallen mankind. And then what do you see in Revelation 21:22? You see the servants of God serving Him on a renewed, resurrected earth for all eternity, having righteous dominion over the world to the glory of God. Sound familiar? Like what God commanded in Genesis 1 and 2? Fulfill, commanded in the first two chapters, ruined, redeemed through the blood of Christ, and ultimately His return, and then setting up His eternal kingdom, and then righteous men and women rule the earth to the glory of God for all eternity. So you had in Genesis 1 and 2, God was in heaven, and He'd come down in the cool of the day and visit with Adam. And then now you have God in heaven, separate but actively involved in this world, and He indwells believers by His Spirit. And then in Revelation 21 and 22, you have God living forever with mankind on the new earth. God with us forever.
Randy Alcorn. This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris. And if you're a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, you have much to look forward to in eternity. But in order to do that, we need to turn and look at the past. The Garden of Eden, maybe the most iconic picture of paradise. Listen to just a little of how Genesis 2 described that garden. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and then He put the man He had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." So, what are some things that this tells us about the garden? Well, first, who planted it? The Lord did. You know, some people today want us to believe that everyone exists by random chance. Some have called it the Big Bang theory. Some think it has to do with other universes, but that's not how Genesis describes it. The garden was planted by Yahweh, the Lord. So, He is the one who put us there. He created everything. And then He planted a garden for mankind to live in. The second thing this tells us is that the Lord is abundant in generosity. He could have created humans with the bare minimum, one tree, one kind of food. But that's not what happened. He created the world with diversity, all kinds of trees, it says. And a little later, the Lord shows Adam all the different kinds of animals that He created. Did you hear what else is there? Not just trees of all different kinds, but also precious stones and metal, gold and onyx. It's a place of luxury and comfort. The garden was paradise. And it tells us something about the Lord. The garden was planted by the Lord. It was the most beautiful garden you could ever imagine. That it also shows us that the Lord is generous. Another truth. Genesis tells us about the garden and that the Lord is the king. He planted it. He made the trees. He put humans there. Everything that happens in the garden happens because the Lord is overseeing it. He's the king of Eden. And human beings, made in His image, are kind of like kings as well. It says He put man in the garden to work and keep it. This just doesn't mean that man was the first farmer. Theologians point out that these words are the same ones used to tell the priests to serve and protect the temple. Mankind was called to rule with the Lord in the garden. Well, when we look ahead to how heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, are described, we see this is similar. Remember what Jesus said in John 14 to the disciples when he was about to be crucified? I'm going to prepare a place for you. He was talking about our eternal place or home. Heaven is made and established by the Lord. Jesus has gone to prepare it, and one day he'll return to welcome us home. Just like the garden was planted by the Lord, heaven will be established by him. Heaven is the result of the Lord's generosity. Remember, he didn't have to save us, but God's love is demonstrated to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When Adam and Eve sinned and lost paradise, the Lord didn't have to bring us back, but he did. And when he does, it'll be a place that's far greater than we could ever imagine. In the book of Revelation, heaven is described as the place where God's presence is seen and experienced. Remember the precious material I read about in the garden to us? Heaven is described as even greater. 12 precious stones or metals, including onyx. And the street in the city is pure gold, the New Jerusalem. Heaven is a place where the generosity of the Lord is on full display. It's like the garden. Even better. And we get to be there too, ruling with the Lord over this new creation. Jesus is the King of Kings. He has a throne. He has an iron scepter, but he grants his people the right to rule. Just like mankind in the garden was given authority over it, we're given authority to rule the new creation. But it's far greater than the garden. And that's because heaven and the garden have a very important difference. In the garden, there was the tree of life, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was told, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know what happened. Adam and Eve did eat. Sin entered the world. Well, in heaven, you know what's there? The tree of life. Revelation 22, then the angel showed me the river and the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The tree of life is there, and we're able to eat of it freely. This is the difference. Because of Jesus, who did everything the Lord commanded, unlike Adam, we have access to the tree of life. And there is no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What Jesus did for us gives us access to a place that is true paradise, better than Eden's garden. And the blood of Jesus is our passport to faith. He died and took the course of death that we deserved. So that if we believe, we will be with him in heaven forever. We learn a lot about a heaven from that garden. We learn a lot about our heavenly King, Jesus, who generously gives us a place in his kingdom. Let this sink in for us. We will be with the Lord forever in a place he's preparing for us. We'll rule with him. We'll worship together. And the peace we will find there, lasting peace, the permanent peace of Jerusalem, will be all because of Jesus.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be light within our midst?
Yeah.
did we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us? Is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? And open the scroll. The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son.
Prophetic Words, a brand new song from an album, Resurrection Letters. The song is called Is He Worthy, here on Haven Today. And I'm Charles Morris. This is a series called Peeking into Heaven.
当保罗谈到被造的物质世界得到更新的时候呢，他说的是新天新地是已经确定要赐给我们了，因为在十字架上，耶稣已经恢复了我们与上帝的关系，使我们成为了上帝的真儿女。我们领受了儿子的名分，我们的身体和整个的物质世界将要得赎，并且呢，作为神的儿女，你和我未来将要得到的产业是可以有保证的。也因着这份的产业，世界将要得到更新，将来是属于我们的。原因呢，就在于基督他过去已经成就的工作。我们在读圣经的时候，常常就会按照系统神学研究的方法来看，就是说把圣经的教导分门别类的分为不同的几个思想范畴。比如说这个地方谈的是罪的内容，那个地方呢谈的是圣灵的内容，这里呢讲的是教会，那里呢讲的是婚姻，这里讲的是家庭，那里讲的是祷告。这样的方法读圣经呢，当然非常的好，并且呢，我们也应该以这样的方法去做。然而，还有一种是按照历史发展的眼光来研究圣经的，这个方法就被称为了救赎历史研究方法。不知道你有没有听说过？我觉得，当今天 Charles 讲 创世纪和启示录的对比时呢，就会让我想到了这个研究方法。原来圣经的话语啊，也可以是被看作成为一个故事的，一个关于上帝创造世界，人类堕落，然后上帝重新的进入世界，来为自己创造一个新的人类，并且呢，最终通过基督把一个污秽和破碎的世界变成崭新的被造界的故事。按照这样的一个观点来看，福音的表现就是创造、堕落、救赎还有恢复。我们知道，新天新地就是最后终极的恢复。我们当初被造的世界没有死亡，没有离别，没有腐败，没有疾病和衰老。当我们的第一个父母亚当夏娃被逐出上帝的乐园，并且呢，当他们被禁止再见到上帝的面时，人类的历史就成为了一个流亡和渴望回家的历史。我们与上帝，我们与真实的自我，以及我们与其他人，我们与被造的环境都一一的隔绝了。那么问题就来了，我们要怎样才能回家呢？被造的世界怎样才能够得以恢复呢？死亡和败坏怎样才能够被克服呢？这些问题只有圣经给了我们答案。神的儿子耶稣基督离开了自己真正的家，来到了这个世界。他在离家逃亡的过程当中，他的出生和成年以及以后都没有家，晚上睡觉连枕头的地方都没有。最后他还被钉死在了城外，十字架就是他流亡和被拒绝的记号。他代替了我们体验了死亡的滋味，也就是被隔绝的状态，而这个本身是应该人类最有应得的结果。耶稣基督被抛出去了，好让我们可以被带回家。耶稣的死和复活是最终的出埃及记和最终的停止流亡。当耶稣从坟墓中起来的时候，他打破了死亡的权势，成为了我们真正的家，也就是新天新地中活生生的一个预先的体验。耶稣要使万有和好，并让世界再次成为上帝的乐园。上帝本来可以在伊甸园里就把审判的愤怒倾倒给人类，你有想过吗？我们人类的历史它之所以存在，唯一的原因不是别的，而是上帝要计划差遣他的独生子进入世界，把罪的审判倾倒在他自己儿子的身上，以这样的一种方式来带来人类和世界的救赎。耶稣是人类的历史唯一存在的原因，也因此他是人类历史唯一的目标。透过整本圣经，我们可以看到上帝在历史中说的每一件事情都是为了他儿子的拯救工作而做的各样的解释以及各样的预备。圣经中的每一条线索都能够在耶稣那里找到终极的答案。那么这也就回到了 Charles 常常在节目当中说的一句话， It's all about Jesus， 这不是关于 Charles 的，这不是关于乐心的，所有的一切都是关于耶稣的。这个就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部节目内容了，非常谢谢你的收听。乐心和 Charles 呢，就在明天的同一时间和你继续在良友电台的蓝天绿洲不见不散。愿神祝福你，拜拜。
Home, we're heading home. We journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take.